Good morning, everyone. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. Especially our live stream audience, I want to welcome you specifically. And everybody sounds so good this morning, and getting a chance to just see your smiling faces in person. There's nothing like an in-person setting of the choir, so good job. I wanted to just notify you, if this is your first time here at Hope Chapel, thank you. This is always a privilege. And I do have to say, there are many times that people, you in particular, come from behind the camera and come for your first time visit, and not just to Hope Chapel, but to church in general. And what a great season for people to come into church during the holiday times. And no one is going to really enjoy Christmas like the Christians. So, man, maybe you're just kind of checking out and saying, hey, I wonder where God's going to kind of fit in my life. Maybe this could be that shining season where somebody says, you know what, it's not about church. I'm going to just want to engage and enjoy a relationship with Jesus, which is what so many of us here have experienced. So would you tell those that are here online and just say, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, just it's so important and so vital for us. I want to just encourage you too. I hope that you received, we call it a bulletin card, but we also have our outline of today's message, and we'll have that available online as well. But we want to just see, we just know it's so helpful to take notes. That's why we provide writing instruments for you to enjoy. Hey, I want to just pause just for a moment because I felt so moved. Some of the times we come in late because we're depositing our children next door and we miss the worship. But I believe the Lord wants to just bring a real peace over a few of you, maybe all of us. And it comes by reason of this. I just felt like, once again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, God's word says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. And so you may have just been hurried up just to get into church. I'm sure glad you're here. Church is actually made up of people, not bodies of buildings, but people. So the Lord is here, and let's just do just a moment for you to experience something. If you're worried about something or someone, just close your eyes with me, because Jesus is speaking to you right now. He wants to lift that burden. And he knows you're really thinking a lot about that. And it's going to be a distraction for further things you have for him to give to you. So, Lord, this is my worry, but I'm sorry to be worrying about it. And it says, the word says, pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4, 6. Verse 7, and peace of God will come and guard your heart and mind in Christ. Now pray about that thing. Got rid of that worry. And Lord, I just want to tell you, this is it. You are my solution. Would you take care of this? Would you help that person? Would you deliver my friend from destruction? Would you lift those people from despair? Bring healing. You know what you're requesting. So, Lord, we thank you. Would you just whisper a thank you to God? He can hear your heart, but it's nice to be able to speak something. It says, with thanksgiving. So, Lord, thank you. Just whisper it. Lord, I thank you. I believe you heard. And now let me see the results of that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, how good is that? Way to go, everybody. And so now we can really focus on the Word of the Lord. That's the high watermark of every Christian gathering. We get to be around the Bible. It's like a good meal. We're going to enjoy that. Well, I hope it is. But just heard a cute one real quick, and then off we go to the races with the Word. Heard about this minister driving. You know, driving, that's a lot of jokes with bad drivers out there. But the minister looked down as he's driving and then veers off into the ditch, hits a telephone pole, crashes badly. A bystander runs up there, sir, are you okay? He says, oh, yeah, I'm okay. He says, it's a good thing that I had the angel of the Lord with me. The guy said, listen, he better ride with me because you're about to kill him. Okay. So the Bible talks a lot about angels, by the way. And if you've ever done a word study on the word angel, not just about a pre-incarnate visit of Jesus, there are angels everywhere. And I believe they're in this room. I really do. And I believe the Lord has a way, as Scripture says, angels are there to protect you, especially those who are inheritors of eternal life. So they don't want credit. Matter of fact, they're nothing more than to serve you and to make sure you get your way onto heaven, but they are around, and that's pretty awesome, isn't it? And we're going to be naturally taking a look at one named Gabriel, but he visited that wonderful lady named Mary. We're going to start by just highlighting for you who are parents or grandparents, because we often get asked, what about Santa Claus? How do I talk to my family members about Santa Claus? Because do we talk about Santa Claus and all the accommodating traditions, and then my child grows up and they realize Santa's not real, then the trust value is gone, and then what about they might not really trust me to tell them that God exists? So there's a real issue that's there, but I want you to know that Saint Nicholas did exist. He was a very real person. What I'm holding here is something that Ainsley and I hold of great value. It's probably our greatest Christmas decoration. It's naturally Santa Claus. You can see that up on the screen for you who are at home. And he's just kneeling before the manger, baby Jesus. So we cherish this. If you came into our home in our little tiny foyer, there would be Jesus seeing Santa Claus kneel over, giving great grace. I wanted to highlight a little bit about St. Nicholas. Now, St. Nicholas did live. He died in 350 A.D. He lived in Turkey. It was in Turkey, if you are aware, that Asia Minor area. That's where the first century and following church flourished in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. When we were there, we visited the ruins of the seven churches of the book of Revelation, all of them in the nation of Turkey. Now, Turkey is predominantly Muslim, but that's a whole other historical element. But it was a thriving megapolis of believers, and that is where St. Nicholas lived. St. Nicholas was a God-fearing man. He was one of the members of the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. That Council of Nicaea was the greatest council that ever was assembled in history, ever. It helped form and fashion what was the Word of God, what books are authoritative and so significant. Saint Nicholas was a part of that. It is shown that he had a great love for Jesus and for the birth of Jesus. Therefore, he was known to be generous with his wealth. He would give to poor families, and in particular, it's documented his great love for children. His passion for Jesus caused him to be tortured and put into prison by the Roman emperor, Diocletus. But eventually, what ended up happening, in one story in particular, is that St. Nicholas knew in that setting, in that era, that if young ladies were to be married, that the parents would have to give a dowry, big money, to invest into that marriage. If they didn't have it, then those women were usually, often, they ended up as prostitutes. And it came to St. Nicholas's attention that these three young ladies in this very impoverished home, the father did not have the dowry, and they were in a few days going to destine themselves to prostitution. So the historical documents say that Nicholas put together three bags of gold and delivered them by night into the house. We're not sure. It could have been a stovepipe. It could have been a chimney. Possibly, really, maybe through the window. But the three bags of gold helped those three girls to be married. It's a great story, and therefore, it's at that time that it has often been said that now that's why there is gift giving to children at Christmas time. Saint Nicholas is called the patron of the saint of children. And therefore you get that appointment that he is Saint Nicholas. Now, his name, it had so many syllables in there that there were certain languages had a hard time. Sinterklaas, and they were having a hard time saying it. And it was the Dutch that came through and said, we'll just put it together, Santa Claus. And that's his name. But he was a God-fearing man, a very real man. He was devoted to everything he had to give to people. And it was at that time. So we cherish this. It's called the Kneeling Santa. You can order that online. They get quite expensive, especially at this time of year. How's that? I just thought it. Well, may the Lord bless you on that. Our season that we're dealing with, we're making Christmas more meaningful. That is our series right now in our Christmas setting. So our series is a little bit different than just talking about maybe the Christmas story. I'm hoping by now all of you may have a nativity set with a manger there and a baby something or other. We would call him Jesus in there. But we're talking about giving today. Last time we were talking about a more meaningful Christmas with loving. But take a look at the title, Meaningful Christmas with Giving. I'm wanting to just highlight for you who are believers, this is something that we could take a look and say, yeah, Christmas has filled with traditions and great memories, but what if we are just feeling, how do we make it more meaningful to you, more meaningful to your walk in relationship with Jesus? Then this message, as well as the others that will be coming, are for you. That is our series. Because we know this, Christmas and giving have always been associated together. And the foundation of Christmas really comes about because of God's great love for us that he gave. He's the original giver. God himself is a giver. He has always been that. Matter of fact, you and I benefit by God's generosity. Romans 8 says so clearly that, man, God who did not give up his own son, how much more so will he freely, I like that word, freely give us all things to receive. So we're looking at, we're going to begin now, John chapter 3, verse 16, and Almighty God, open our hearts and help us to see things because we want to follow Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. A familiar passage says this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What a gift that is. That alone would be rich and just say, man, do you have that gift of eternal life? Now, we're not just talking about longevity. We're talking about quality, eternal life. So I just want to just highlight that. But Jesus is that one. He's the ultimate example of giving. Ultimate example. And we're going to be taking a look at ways to give. Let's deal with just a little bit, if you would, for a moment here. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, for so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that's the Apostle Paul's expression. I'm hoping that you had that as well. I'm doing what I'm doing, personally, this Paul, because I'm convinced Jesus gave himself for me. That's a close-knit love relationship. Man, he's given me so much, I'm all in as well. I like the fact, too, if you were to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So that's our setting for today's message. Jesus is the ultimate example. Now, how do we expand on that? How do we expand on understanding the message? A meaningful Christmas with giving. So it's going to be important for us. Here we go. Let me just lay out four areas. I'm sure you're very engaged in all of this, but just in fact, maybe God's moving you into a more meaningful approach to Christmas, or maybe even life. Number one, we give our time. That's our point here. The most precious commodity we have is time. We all have a set amount of time, and we have a set amount of time that God knows when you will be coming home. Hopefully, we all go in the rapture, but God knows your date that you're going to be coming home, but it's precious commodity. Therefore, we want to be wise with that. Neither do we want to be stingy with our time. So the giving of our time is important. Check it out with me, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And I have this from the New English Standard Version. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you and I were going to utilize, maximize our time, wouldn't it be great to know what God wants you to do? Now, everybody's going to have an opinion for your life. We need all the all-set standard American lifestyle, but what is it that God has for you? And one of the ways we just want to highlight, and I think it's been helpful for me, letter A on your notes, allow time for interruptions. If time is precious, don't hoard it. Don't hoard it. Allow time for interruptions. The most meaningful moments in your life, if you were to think about it, have come from those interruptions, be it in the grocery line or somehow an unplanned surprise by people, that somewhere along the line it was a spontaneous interaction and you were disrupted in your agenda, but you knew, wow, I'll never forget that encounter. It's kind of like Jesus in Luke chapter 8. You can just write that down in verse 43. Remember that woman who said, if I just touch the hem of his garment? Jesus in Luke 11 is making his way to Jairus' house. This ruler saying, please come touch my daughter. She is dying. And Jesus is making his way. He's got an appointment. And then he's interrupted by a woman with severe issues. And she touches his hem. And she's miraculously healed. Some of you could have that happen even now during the message, where you just say, Lord, just help me, just touch me. God is not opposed to those spontaneous interruptions. Allow for them. Time is precious, but be prepared for that. You never know when God says, you know what, why don't you make a turn here and just stop by and visit that old friend. Letter B, prioritize time for relationships, not activity. If time is so important, you know we've gone through, coming out of COVID, we were talking about, man, relationships are really where it's at. God is all into relationships. He wants one with you. So make sure we prioritize time with relationships, not always activities. Holidays can be a little crazy. We know it, right? And it could almost consume our entire time prepping and preparing. Busyness does not equal connection to people. Just because you're busy, hey, let's all do this project, come on in, and we feel like we're connected. That's not the case. Listen, the truth of the matter is that additional expectations on ourselves that we should have the house just right and everything set because the holidays are here. Nobody, if you think back, nobody's going to remember whether the house was cleaned or not. Nobody's going to remember how you set the table. They probably won't recall how nicely you wrapped everything or how stunning your Christmas tree was. People will not remember that. But you put, and I put pressure on ourselves for that. But they'll remember if you carved out time for them. And God saw fit, I think, to put in a little story in the Bible for just this little point that I'm trying to make. It's about Mary and Martha. You remember Martha? So many of us are those Marthas. Are you Martha or are you Mary? I'm a Mary, I'm a Martha. I don't know. But it's the occasion where Jesus is in the house and Martha is going for it in preparation. And Mary, her sister, is taking advantage of all the company and doing no work. Now, I've seen some families really dissolve over that one. But Jesus says this, check it out with me. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. We'll let you see the response. Then the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. And there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." A lot of help Jesus was in getting the house straightened up. But it's important for us, and the point is, prioritize time for relationships. Time's important. Giving of your time for people. Oh, man, that's so important. And we, your church, intentionally has done something for you today at 5 o'clock. Everybody say 5 o'clock. There is a church potluck and party right here. We're going to outfit this whole sanctuary to fit people to dine and to enjoy. It's been a long time since we've done a potluck. I think it's shortly after COVID because nobody wanted to touch somebody as tainted food. But listen, it's good now. And my middle name is Pastor Potluck Paul. You bring it. And it's intentional that we prioritize relationships. And please, you who are watching, maybe you're from a workstation or you're just too fatigued because you work through the night or a swing shift, come on down here. We need each other. And it's so important. The best gifts we have to give this Christmas, really, I think it is our time. Let's take a look at another one. We give our money. We give our money. Christmas is typically the time of the year when people are the most financially generous. We're talking financial just time. We talk time, now we're talking finances. That's why when you take a look at it, you come out of the store and there they are, Salvation Army buckets with the ring, because people are just more apt to give. But let me talk to the believers, because if maybe when I talk to believers, people that just understand how much God's given to them, and if you're just here just kind of checking out what God's all about, be free. Do not, you heard us, if you are just still kind of walking a question mark with you and God, don't give anything and don't really feel pressured by what I'm about to say. By and large, I hear from people all the time, the church is all about money. It's a business. Well, it probably appears that way, but I want to remind everybody, Jesus had a financial person who handled the money bag. So his operation had money, and the person in charge was called Judas Iscariot, and he stole from the money. So, yeah, Jesus' operation needed money. But I'll tell you, it'll get a grip on people. And Judas got carried away. You can read about that and his outcome. But God still uses money. And when we take a look at having a more meaningful Christmas, let me talk to you about what it is to step a little bit more forward. I want to and always enjoy saying, let's let Jesus be our high watermark. Let's look at here 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says this, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." Wow, what an exchange. That's a kingdom principle about giving things. But Jesus set aside priority of supreme being in his ability of being rich and his power to become like you and me and born to peasants in Bethlehem. That's an amazing thing. His generosity should inspire, and it does, my generosity. It inspired Saint Nicholas. He was touched by what Jesus represented and understood the word of the Lord. And he had meaningful Christmases. And look at the tradition that's out now by gift giving. I want to just highlight this because there's one thing about giving gifts, especially let's just say if we are possibly not accustomed to being generous, or maybe you are generous and many, this church is so wonderfully generous. So don't let me overlook that. I want to highlight that. But what about if we were to give a gift to Jesus this Christmas? And this little cartoon strip that now I want to show you really touched me. And you could see the caption there. It says, "Now, let's see, have I forgotten anyone?" And there's all the presents, and Jesus is kind of squeezing out saying, "What about me?" Have you really thought about just giving a little extra, however that looks, to Jesus? Many people do. This church does. That's why we do what we do. But for you who are thinking about that, can you imagine saying, this is going to be for Jesus? It's a little extra. It's beyond what my norm is. Many times people don't think that way. And boy, I'm sure glad to say, let's consider that, dear ones. Because whose birthday is it anyway? And he may be the only one that doesn't receive a present. So we may want to consider how we can do that. Letter A on our notes, give to make a difference in others. Your giving makes a difference. And you know, when you know it made a difference, the joy that comes over you and me, that's powerful. If you've ever experienced that, the difference that you have made in the lives of somebody else, however you're giving of time, however you're giving of substance, however you're giving of your ability to help and to move something for somebody else, it is something you cannot explain, except that just makes me feel good. And I sense the joy that comes out of that. And that's a beautiful thing when we consider those areas making a difference in others. You experience that joy, and I'm telling you, it motivates you as it did Jesus. He did what he did because you are his joy, and he experienced that. I want to just highlight, can I just brag on you a little bit? And I like to. I remind myself, I talk about how good Hope Chapel is to everybody else that doesn't attend here. And I need to just brag on you for a little bit. This year, the end of November, we as a church have given $140,750 to missions. End of November, $140,000. We have one more month. Maybe, wouldn't it be great if we topped $200,000? Well, God can do that. But I just want to say thank you. The amount and the difference you make in the lives of our missionary units is so intriguing, so powerful. It's wonderful when we get a chance to do that. Matter of fact, it's been great. God, I just want to highlight here, if you've not seen this, and we probably need to make this a little more plentiful, this is our November-December prayer chart for our missionaries. There are 13. We've adopted 14th missionary who goes off on Foursquare disaster relief. But these are wonderful individuals that are not going to be here in the States for Christmas, but because they know people back home in Huntington Beach give to their assignment, they feel compelled to represent and to keep going at it. When they get our Christmas cards and our gifts from you who are so faithful, it really keeps them on the mission field. I want to thank you for that. I'm so grateful to God. $140,000, and I'd like to see if we could do a little bit more of that. Matter of fact, I want to shout out to our missions director, Sean Knight. Would you just kind of stand up, Sean? Show what a nice, shiny face looks like. And there he is. Thank you, Sean. Sean directs a committee of nine total. And so with that, we're grateful to be able to share that. Now, I do want to just add, this year's been a little more of a string budget. Our church council's considering how we can kind of tighten our belt a little bit because so many things are changing and people are a little bit nervous with the economy. And we have not held back. I want you to know, we fully invested in missions. You saw the money. But we're so honored as a church, I'm very happy we played a role in the development of the Fifth Street, which is serving the nation's, really their training center, their office. If you were at the open house, it is a beautiful facility. I want to thank you for that. And some of our department leaders are going to have a little party over there. We're going to actually take advantage of it and put a few marks like STN has on our church building. We're going over there. We're going to mark right up. Praise the Lord. Okay. I want to thank the Lord. I would like to see our budget, if we could. I'm just our church council, our missions committee. It is time we plant another church or maybe send another missionary from Hope Chapel like we did the Muellers, like we did the Godwins. Wouldn't it be great? Somebody here who is just new to Jesus, but you just got all the fire of God in you. You're just like, get me out there. We call you a pagan to a planter. Where you're planting a ministry somewhere around the world. But we need that budget. We'd like to do that. We have started something. We're a little bit a part of it. But something called Surfers Church on Saturday night. We're grateful for the influence. So if you can, come on, Saturday night, up in the reach. It's where it's happening. So we're endeavoring to plant what we can. I'm just telling you that because you're a part of that. You're a part of that. You're a part of that. When you jump online and you give, I'm so grateful. So grateful. We need to just tell you what we're doing. So let's take a look at letter B, give to imitate Jesus. Give to imitate Jesus. If you look here for a moment, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 literally says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. What did God do for you? What is he like? Well, we certainly want to encourage everything we can. Build generosity in a changed life. You can tell when a person's really been touched by God because they realize their very life exists because God's intervened and have helped them. But I want you to know, you, Hope Chapel, when you take a look at our size, it's like, really? Are we doing that much? You are. It's a miracle of God. And I tell the community called Huntington Beach, you are doing things in this community through Serve City, through our Sunrise service that we sponsor at the pier. The things that are happening because of your generosity, because that you are making things more meaningful, you should be informed how wonderful it is. I want you to know, maybe if you're not aware of just Jesus, I'd say first give your life to Jesus. But if you are still young in the Lord and working your way, let the Lord just make that faith statement happen. What would that look like for believers like us who have been at it a long time and have seen the gratitude and the abundance of God? I would just say to any believer, make a decision to add generosity to your 2024 budget. I mean, Financial Peace University, there's one called that. They say the greatest investment of Christians, by and large, is the 10% tithe. I'll just throw that out there. They say that is what makes the Christians financially wealthy. That just absorbs everything in great ways. Give consistently would be another recommendation, weekly or monthly. Just get that pattern going. Bible says about setting something aside weekly, but we're just talking about having a more meaningful Christmas with giving. And utilize our envelopes maybe, or our online giving. Take a look, maybe the offering slots back there. Just take, those are there. We don't make a big fuss out of that. But when you just apply that, maybe in the after hours, maybe during the week, Jesus, I give this to you. Whatever becomes of that, that's on the person you're giving it to. But to you and Jesus, it becomes a richness of great grace on your life. And then rejoice in what generosity accomplishes through you. And I mean that. You've got to rejoice. The joy of what it is to have a more meaningful life and generosity is so powerful. And you can enjoy that, and we are very open with all of our finances in Markdown, January 21st. We lay out all of our financial records. You'll see everything because that's a sacred trust. When people give their monies to God, we know that that's holiness. We want you to see where it goes, how it's used, and the great benefits so we can rejoice together. So we're an open book, and we want everybody, even our people on the street that want to check it out, it doesn't matter. We want to brag on what God is doing through us. Let's hit these next two points. Number three, we give our encouragement. Give our encouragement. I like Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Let me just highlight that, 25. We give our encouragement. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. We call that miracle math. I actually learned that from Anna Ervolino, who spoke at Surfers Church a couple of weeks ago. But miracle math, God multiplies that. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So we encourage people. That's the way Jesus was. You know why people followed Jesus? You know why we follow Jesus personally? Because we get so encouraged when we do. When we're down, man, he lifts us up. When we need hope, he's all on to that. Remember those times that we've shared that or you saw it? Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy burdened. Take my yoke upon you. I'm going to make your burden light. Man, what a hopeful statement. That's all Jesus does. I would like to be that way. Meaningful Christmas? Why don't we share a more encouraging time? Letter A, be intentional with your words. Be intentional. Tonight would be a great time. Come back. Who knows, you might find a forever friend tonight. Don't be a verbal Grinch. Well, I'm not going to go. I don't like potlucks. What? What a Grinch. Come on, grubble, grubble, grubble. We'll throw you a doggy bag. We won't hold back on anybody. But it's going to be important. We get a chance. Ask yourself, do people become more refreshed around me? Or are you sucking the life out of them?
Come on.
So it's just something you're going to have to determine. Letter B, be aware of others' conditions, their emotions, their pain, and their weariness. That's important when we get a chance. What does that mean? I like to remind myself, Paul, get a good rest, because you want to be fully present enough this Christmas to notice people. You're going to be around people this holiday season, going into New Year's, where you could be so tired you don't see somebody's emotional pain. And emotionally painful can be the holidays for some people. Be alert. Be fully present at Christmas. Do you see anybody that just seems to be distraught? They're standing in the corner. They're not going to engage. They can't. Can you be alert enough? Sometimes when we're so irritated because we're tired, at times hungry, it can cause us to say things we probably should not. But wouldn't it be great that you just gave a note of encouragement somewhere? Maybe, hello, tipped the waiter or waitress a little bit more at the restaurant. Wouldn't it be nice? You big tippers, do not, please don't. Don't leave a Jesus track without big money.
True.
Please don't give them I love my church card with that no money tip. Okay, that's enough said. Here we go. We're going back. But just to encourage people, let's make sure we don't take people for granted. Isn't that true? Don't you love that? Man, God is all about people. Let's move on to number four. We give ourselves. So we've talked about giving time, talked about giving our finances. We talked about giving words of encouragement. These are all meaningful ways to make it a much more meaningful Christmas. And now we're dealing with giving of ourselves. I like what 1 John 3:16 says. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives For who? For what? For our brothers and sisters. Talking about Christians. Jesus did it for us. Literally, we can certainly give like we did, or he did for us. Give of ourselves. What does that look like to you? Well, wouldn't it be great we just came out of hiding just a little bit and said, you know what? I'm going to be a little more engaged this year. My body may not be where it should be, but well, I'm going to find something I can do to give more of myself. Letter A, put the needs of another above ourselves. There is such true joy when we feel we've really given what we could of ourselves to somebody else. Please try not to be absorbed by your own life. You can see people shrivel up and become really scroogey. Be careful about that. You might even have certain people in your family that you know if you hang around them, they're going to be sucking the oxygen out of the room because you better pay attention to me. But not for you who are followers of Jesus. And husbands, serve the needs of your wife. Give her the gift of your time. Maybe wash the dishes. Maybe watch the kids so she could have a break. Wouldn't that be great? Just certain things like that are examples. Lighten her load. Maybe just simply ask, honey, what can I do to give of myself to you? And I think it's going to be important. And then letter B, sacrifice accomplishes more than what we gave up. What do I mean by that? There's something in the kingdom of God. When we give, we harvest things back, and often much more. The sacrifice, if you've not discovered the sacrifice, and you've moved out of me, mine, I want, I demand, if you could ever experience that, you'll be sold at what it is to sacrifice yourself. Oh, it's a beautiful life. It's one that's so wonderful and rich. It's important, and we get a chance. I love it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, as we wrap this message up. It says about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He looked at you, that sacrifice of himself on the cross. You were his joy, the joy set before him. It was worth it to go through what he was going through. There's a paradox in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The paradox is, if you give something, it's actually going to come back to you. So if you're needing love, give love away. If you are needing encouragement, you go out and give encouragement. If you're needing resources, I've got nothing. Man, find a way to give out resources that you have. Don't say, I don't have it. I don't have it to spare. You'll always be struggling. Always be struggling, especially if you're a believer in Jesus. And if you want to be treated with mercy and understanding, treat people with mercy and understanding. Well, that is my part B, part number two of our series. Remember the paradox, though. It's the same with a corn kernel. You plant that little corn kernel, and it grows into a stalk, where literally has corn kernels by the thousands. That's the kingdom of God. So let's plant that. By the way, let's pray right now. Shall we do that? Father, we want to thank you. Oh, we just love talking about you. And if there's ever a chance we get to be like Jesus, then Lord, would you help us? Because it just isn't in us unless it's born of the Spirit. Lord, we pray. If there are someone that's listening right now and says, I'd like to, but I'm afraid to, I'm not sure where to begin, then let's begin with giving our lives to Jesus. Would you quietly just whisper this little prayer to the Lord? It goes like this, Dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I've given everything I have to myself and to others. But today I give everything I have to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.